Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the Gospel according to Mark. Last time we left off, we were in Mark chapter 8, and let's see, my bookmark here is in verse 27. Yes, he just healed the blind man and told him not to go tell anybody again. Okay. Verse 27, Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets. And he saith to them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And I'm sure he would have said something like, in Hebrew, he would have said the Messiah. And he charged them that they should tell no man. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. You know, the thing is, it's like the five loaves and two loaves of bread and the five fishes and so forth. They don't put the pieces together, so to speak. And here he is telling him he's going to be killed and he's going to be rejected, and then he's going to raise after 3 days. Well, I think I'd get a little more excited about the raising after 3 days. I'd be going, well, you know, it doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but this I got to see. You know, this raising for the dead after 3 days. Because, I mean, the only way you can accomplish raising from the dead, of course, is to die first. But Peter begins to rebuke him. Oh, no, master, that's not in my plans for you. We can't have that. You know, we got plans, man. You're gonna be the king and you're gonna rule. And we're just starting on this journey. We can't be talking about dying. And, listen to what Jesus says. We listen to what Yahshua says to, Peter. He says, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Now, this is a temptation coming through Peter. And of course, the Messiah, of course, being a man, he is tempted. Because, like I said, you know, to be raised from the dead, you got to die first. And that doesn't sound like any fun for anyone that has any sanity. Even the Messiah, who had total faith, did not want to die like any man does not want to die. And there we're seeing his true manhood. You know, he's called all God and all man. Well, we're seeing the all-man part there. He doesn't want to suffer this, but he knows that he must. So he rebukes the temptation that's coming through Peter. And also this is a rebuke for Peter, though. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. And of course, when he said take up his cross, he would have been talking about a Roman crucifixion. And the people listening to him knew what he was saying, because he was not shy when he came to words. He's saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He wasn't shy about the words. The message was clear. And, you know, the people have, and I'm going to use this word, romanticized the cross. That's right. They've romanticized the cross. But when he said, take up your cross and follow me, the picture was a Roman crucifixion, an awful thing that the eyes of just about everyone there had beheld, because the Romans did it notoriously and publicly. They displayed their crucifixions, and it was a gruesome, grueling, tormenting, torturous way to die. That was Roman justice. That was the power of Rome to rule its provinces, and they made a public display of it. So when he said, "Pick up your cross and follow me," he was letting everyone know exactly what was going on. It was not this romanticized idea that people have of the cross today. It's not a shiny little medal you hang around your neck on a chain. The graphic image here is of a Roman crucifixion. "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If you follow me, you're going to suffer. If you follow me, you're going to suffer loss. You're going to lose the things of this world. You're going to lose all of your comfort. You're going to come out of your comfort zone. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." Now, that brings it a little nearer, that crucifixion, that graphic image of suffering terribly. "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What do you got? You got nothing. The wages of sin is death, and you got no way to pay. That's right. You'll die in your sins, and death will own you. You'll have no escape. Bad plan. Very bad plan. I don't want to pay the price for my own sins, especially when this wonderful, generous, and great offer has been made and already paid. All I have to do is follow him and endure till the end. And that's what the endurance is about. That's what he's talking about, this enduring to the end stuff. "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever endures to the end shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord and endures to the end shall be saved." I'm going to combine those two for all those people that are engaged in this easy believism out there. You know, they have the pick and choose gospel. That's right. We pick the verses we like and we ignore the ones we don't like. I'm sorry. It's the whole gospel or it's nothing. And if you're just hanging on a verse here and there, if you're picking and choosing what you want, guess what you got? Nothing. It's everything. It's all or nothing. That's it. These words here that the Messiah is giving us, they're pretty hard. They're all or nothing words. "Whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." You know, we can apply that to every area of life. You know, if you read through the Old Testament, especially the Proverbs, you always hear this phrase, to be circumspect. To be circumspect. That's right. And of course, to be circumspect means to apply the word to every area of life. That's what it means. And so we're to be circumspect, to apply the word of God to every area of life. And I can draw an illustration here because I think about it once in a while, and I have this little enterprise running here where I, like Paul, you know, Paul made tents and supported himself in his ministry. And I began this a Bible teaching ministry many years ago. And at the same time, I began to volunteer at the radio station where I was doing my program. And eventually, I was running that the radio network out of that studio, and finally I was the last man standing there, and I'm still running a network today, and I can apply this circumspectly in my work. There have been plenty of opportunities to make money and to make compromises to carry programs that would really bring in the listeners and bring in the bucks, because when you got listeners, you got bucks, baby. Let me tell you, you got bucks. But, and then the advertising too. And I see other men, they've gone after the advertising. They've compromised. So for me, it would, maybe for them, it isn't a compromise to take on programming that is dishonest. And I guess if you're dishonest already, you don't see it. But I would have to make compromises to do those things. Instead, I have to take on the programming that the Heavenly Father wants me to take on. and that nobody will advertise on. And it's not real popular because people don't throw money at you and the advertisers ain't chasing you down to sponsor the programming because it's so popular that people are listening and that's where the people are and that's where the money is. And that's a way of denying yourself. That's a way of applying this circumspectly in your life, in your business. And I'm not just over here tooting my own horse. There are a lot of men out there that won't compromise. I saw them in the construction industry. I saw the difference between those that compromised and those that didn't. And you could always justify it to get ahead in your business. Well, I'll never be successful unless I make this little itty-bitty compromise. Unless I work with the banksters. Unless I lay heavy burdens on other people. I can tell you about the construction industry and why they have all those permits and why they have all those regulations. Because big business doesn't mind. Because they have the special loan packages and the deals, and they can cover the expenses that push the little honest man out of business. And that's how business works in the world. And I know there's a lot of people out there. They're happy to be small. They're happy to be honest and feed their families and work hard for a living and receive the reward of their labor as a gift from God. And then there are the others that deny themselves. And they take up the cross and they follow him by applying the word of God circumspectly into every area of their life. They don't compromise. And I applaud every single one of you because I know who you are. Because I've been you. I am you. And we have our reward. And our reward is eternal. They have their reward. And they're getting rich now. And it's destroying them even now. But we will have forever. That's our reward. So continue to apply his word circumspectly into every area of your life. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. And that is the selfish self that lived without him. And when we live with him, then we receive from him and not from the world. For what shall it profit a man? Because he drives it home here. And this is how I apply this circumspectly. That's what brought this about here. Is that he says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what is the Messiah talking about? He is talking about applying this circumspectly in the way that you do business, applying it to your labor and not making the compromises for money's sake. In other words, worshiping mammon. Yes, what is the price? What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Can you work enough to buy your soul? Death already owns it. There's only one way to pay, to redeem it, and that is the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way. What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? You got nothing. Your blood is not clean. His is the clean blood that washes away our sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's what it's all about. He continues, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in, got a frog in my throat here. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Have things changed? 2,000 years? You got the world out there. Oh, they'll say that the Bible is a bunch of fables because someone told them it was. They didn't read it for themselves. They don't want to read it for themselves. They are afraid to read it for themselves because they don't want to be convicted of their sins. So they're happy just to believe that it's a fable. Nothing has changed. They had a wicked, adulterous, and sinful generation in that day that brought about the abomination, the national abomination which maketh desolate. That's the generation we're in. That's what we're looking at. Daniel's 70th week. The Messiah, the desolation is coming. The Messiah is going to be cut off. And that's what he's talking about here when he says, I'm going to be rejected of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed in 3 days, rise again. He's saying, hey, the middle of the week is coming where I'm going to be cut off, but I'm going to rise again. because my blood is clean, and it will pay the price for your sins. So whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in his glory, in the glory of his Father, and with the holy angels. I'll tell you, in that day, I will not be ashamed. There's nothing more important in my life to make sure that I endure than to make sure that I endure till the end of this mortality in his kingdom, so that I will not be ashamed when he returns. Nothing is more important. Mammon, getting ahead, success according to the world. What can I gain from the world? From making all the little compromises to get ahead. What can I gain that I could give in exchange for my soul? Absolutely nothing. Nothing but his blood will cover my sins, that I might be redeemed, that I might be saved from my sins, from the death and punishment that is due. Yes, we all shall surely die. All you heathens out there who don't say, oh, I don't believe. Well, golly, you must be going to live forever. You must not believe that you are surely going to die. Yes, we shall all surely die. They don't want to face that till the day it comes. And then they'll be trembling. Then they'll be crying out. But the prayer of the wicked is an abomination. That's what the scripture says. You better repent. The kingdom is at hand. Cross the border into his kingdom and obtain eternal life. Nothing is more important. You want to be there, and you don't want him to be ashamed of you. I read those words again. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, and verse 1. And he saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, and the verily means something like in all truth, this is a trustworthy saying, that's what we have there, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, what's he talking about? Well, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about what I'm talking about. The kingdom of God coming with power. I believe he's talking about Pentecost. The kingdom of God came with power. They were translated into the kingdom of heaven. Paul said it. He said, I sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you listen to that, to the Jesuit teaching, Ribera, Alcazar, those guys, one of them, I forget which one is which now. Which one was the futurist? Which one was the hyper-preterist? Well, the hyper-preterists, they like this one. Oh, some standing there shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And so they believe that some of them lived to 70 AD, and they saw Jesus come and bring the kingdom, and the resurrection happened back then. And death, it still boggles my mind how people can buy into that, but they are buying into it in droves. Perhaps it was a fad there for a while. I don't hear too many people talking about that anymore. Perhaps they just stay away from me. Those hyper-preterists suffering on their sick bed and dying, they're going to say, this is the new heaven and the new earth. That's what they say. They don't say this is the kingdom of God. They say this is the new heaven and the new earth. World without end. That's like the way people can build a doctrine off of a verse here and a verse there. They're not looking, and they're reading the word circumspectly. They're not taking it all into account and bringing it together. If they rub two verses together, I don't know, it might kindle a fire in their soul. But they don't like to do that. They like to hop, skip, and jump and pick and choose which verses they want to hold on to and ignore the ones they reject. We continue here, verse 2 of chapter 9, a gospel according to Mark. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up to a high mountain, apart by themselves. and he was transfigured before them. I'm trying to understand the significance here that it says it starts out this verse, and after 6 days, you know, maybe I can put that together some other time, or maybe I'll ponder it during the break here. We're at the end of the hour. You're listening to Cross the Border. When we get back, we're going to continue in the Gospel according to Mark here at chapter 9. Stay tuned for the news. We'll be back.